we come to a section here in our men's fraternity, winning at work and at home, and we want to talk today about engaging your woman successfully. And a story is told about a man and a friend that were playing golf one day at a local golf course. And one of the guys is about to chip onto the green when he sees this long funeral procession on the road next to the course. And he stops in mid-swing. He takes off his golf cap. He closes his eyes and he bows down in prayer. And his friend looks at him and says, "Wow, that is the most thoughtful and touching thing I have ever seen. You truly are a kind man." And the man stops and looks at him and says, "Yeah, well, we were married 35 years. And you think about that, we want to go the opposite direction from that. And so as we think about this idea of engaging our woman successfully, there's some long-standing wisdom. And we keep going back to this verse, but it's so good. 1 Peter 3:7, and this is a condensing the part that we're going to focus on today, and that is, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way." And so this understanding way here, where Peter talks about that in his first letter, that third chapter and seventh verse, this is not natural to men. Okay, it's not natural for men. This has to be something that is worked upon. And all things that are worth it are things that are worked on. And then B, this way is not just head knowledge. Okay? We need to execute the insights that we're going to receive. So men, win with your woman through wise actions supported by proven insight. Men, win with your woman through wise actions supported by proven insight. Because we need to execute the insight that we receive. And another way that this verse could have been translated is, "Men, win with your woman through wise actions supported by proven insight." So I'm going to keep beating that drum. So what kind of player do you want to be? If you were looking at this whole idea of being on a manhood team, what kind of player do you want to be on a manhood team? There's three different spots. There's the sideliner. That's the person that's watching the action. And there's a lot of men that are watching. Secondly, B, there's the starter. They're in the action. They're in there. They're doing life. They're attempting to engage their wife. But the third place is C, the all-star. That's the one that stands out in the action. That's the one that's taking this seriously and wants to engage and do it successfully and do it above and beyond the call of duty. So let me ask you, as you think about this manhood team, where do you want to be when it's all said and done concerning you and your role as a man in relationship to the woman in your life? So thirdly, what is an all-star master? I mean, you need to define for yourself the me, okay? You need to define it. And it's out of that comes your effort. And so if you say, "Yeah, I want to be an all-star," okay, out of that comes your effort. Because if you're satisfied with being someone on the sideline or just being a starter but not being an all-star, then you'll keep to that spot wherever it is. You'll settle. And so when it talks about what an all-star master is, it's A, he's the man who knows his woman's key needs and is actively engaged in meeting them. And so we can look back at a reminder here. There's those four needs of security, significance, conversation, and affection. And so start asking yourself these questions. If you're thinking about the whole idea of what are the key needs? Well, one of her key needs is security. Have you told her lately, "I love you"? Are you being honest with her? Did you tell her the truth? Are you making her financially secure? Or maybe it's significance. Maybe that's her key need. Ask you these questions. Did you offer her any words of praise today? Have you told her how important she is to you? Did you ask for her opinion on a purchase or a decision or a new direction that you are contemplating? Or maybe conversation is her key need. Let me ask you this. Did you ask her what she's thinking and feeling today? Have you had a date lately, alone, just to talk and unwind together? And when is your next out-of-town getaway to play, plan, and problem solve? And lastly, maybe it's affection. Maybe that's her key need. Did you hug and kiss her today? How about a call out of the blue to say, I'm thinking of you, or a text like that? What about surprising her with flowers? How about a big surprise to honor her this year, a big gift? So those are the four ways: security, significance, conversation, or affection. Are you knowing what your woman's key needs are? And then you're actively engaged in meeting them. Well, B, what an all-star masters. He's the man who knows his woman's personality and wisely adjusts to it. And we'll talk about this in a moment. And then C, he's the man who knows his woman's love language and speaks it often. Well, let's look first of all at knowing your woman's personality. And this is not original. This is from Hippocrates, the one who gave us the Hippocratic Oath back in ancient Greece, that Greek doctor, that one that had an understanding of so many things back in the day. Well, he had these four personality types that he listed. And we've got one, the sanguine; two, the choleric; three, the phlegmatic; and four, melancholy. And so as we look at them, let's look at them for a moment here. And there's a way to understand them, and then we can look at some strengths and weaknesses. The sanguine, the key word for the sanguine is popular. And these are people that are best at making initial contact with people. They're best at creating enthusiasm and excitement, or encouraging and uplifting others. They're ones that ensure that the group is having fun. And they present as outgoing and engaging. And their major needs are fun and adventure. And look at these strengths. Look at these strengths, the strengths that they bring. They're appealing, and they just got appealing personality. They're talkative. They're storytellers. Life of the party. Good sense of humor. They've got a memory for color. They're physically, they hold on to a listener. They're emotional and they're demonstrative. They're enthusiastic and expressive. They're cheerful and bubbling over. They're curious. They're good on stage. They live in the present. They've got a changeable disposition. They make friends easy. They love people. They thrive on compliments. They seem exciting. They're envied by others. They usually don't hold grudges. They prevent dull moments. They live spontaneous with their activities. And at work, they volunteer for jobs. They think of new activities. They look great on the surface. They're creative and colorful. They have energy and enthusiasm. They start in a flashy way. They inspire others to join. And they charm others to work. This popular sanguine also has weaknesses, though. Home, they can be a compulsive talker, exaggerate and elaborate, dwell on trivia. They can't remember names. They scare others off. They're too happy for some. They have restless energy. They can appear as egotistical, naive. They get taken in. They have a loud voice and they laugh. They're controlled by circumstances. They seem phony to some. They hate to be alone. They need to be center stage. They want to be popular. They look for credit. They can dominate conversations. They interrupt and don't listen. They answer for others. They're forgetful. And then at work, they'd rather talk. They forget obligations. They don't follow through. Confidence can fade fast. They can be undisciplined. They can have priorities out of order or decide by their feelings, become easily distracted or waste time talking. And so that's the sanguine. The next group of individuals are the choleric. And their key word is powerful. They're best at motivating people to action. They give quick and clear instruction. They get things done. They lead. And they present as authoritative and convincing. And their major needs are action and excitement. But as we look at their strengths, we see they're a born leader. They're dynamic and active. They're compulsive. They need for change. They must correct wrongs. They're strong-willed and decisive. They're not easily discouraged. They can be independent and self-sufficient. They exude confidence. They have little need for friends sometimes. They will work for group activity. They'll lead and organize, and they're usually right. They can become goal-oriented. These are still strengths. See the whole picture. Organize well. Seek practical solutions. Move quickly to action. Delegate work. Insist on production. They make the goal. They stimulate activity. They thrive on opposition. But here are some of their weaknesses, or how they can come across: bossy, impatient, quick-tempered, can't relax, too impetuous, enjoy controversy and arguments, won't give up when they're losing. They can come on too strong, appear inflexible, not complimentary. They dislike tears and emotions, can be unsympathetic. They can tend to use people, dominate others, decide for others, know everything, can do everything better, too independent, possessive of friends and mate, and can't say I'm sorry, and may be right, but unpopular. They can have, at work, they can have little tolerance for mistakes, don't analyze the details. They're bored by trivia. They may make rash decisions. They may be rude or tactless, manipulate people, demanding of others. The end justifies the means. Work may become their god, and they demand loyalty in the ranks. A third group are called the phlegmatic, and their key word is peaceful. And they're best at staying calm and functional and not overreacting to a negative situation. They can listen effectively. They can make sure the group is relaxed and comfortable. And they present as believable. And their major needs are rest and quiet time. And when you look at these peaceful phlegmatics, they have strengths like a low-key personality. They're easygoing and relaxed, calm, cool, and collected, patient, well-balanced, consistent life, quiet but witty, sympathetic and kind. They can keep their emotions hidden, happily reconciled to life, all-purpose person, easy to get along with, pleasant and enjoyable. They're inoffensive, good listeners, dry sense of humor, enjoy watching people, have many friends, has compassion and concern, and can appear to be unenthusiastic. And at work, they can be competent and steady, peaceful and agreeable, have administrative ability, mediate problems, avoid conflicts, good under pressure. They find the easy way. But the weaknesses can be fearful and worried and indecisive, avoiding responsibility, quiet, will of iron, too shy and reticent, too compromising, self-righteous, dampen enthusiasm, stay uninvolved, not excited, indifferent to plans, judge others, sarcastic and teasing, resist change. And at work, they can be not goal-oriented, lack self-motivation, hard to get moving, resent being pushed, lazy and careless, would rather watch. And then lastly, we see the melancholy, and their key word is perfect. They're best at planning and explain the details, doing it right, being sensitive to the needs of others, and handling numbers and charts and graphs. They present as accurate and sincere, and their major needs are order and understanding. As we look at their strengths, home, they're deep and thoughtful, analytical, serious and purposeful, genius prone, talented and creative, artistic or musical, philosophical and poetic, appreciative of beauty, sensitive to others, self-sacrificing, conscientious, idealistic, make friends cautiously, content to stay in the back room, avoid causing attention. They're faithful and devoted. They'll listen to complaints. They can solve others' problems. A deep concern for other people. Move to tears with compassion. And they're at work, they can be schedule-oriented, perfectionistic with high standards, detail-conscious, persistent and thorough, orderly and organized, neat and tidy, economical. They see the problems. They find creative solutions. They need to finish what they start. They like charts. They like graphs and figures and lists. But when it comes to weaknesses, they can remember the negatives, and they're moody and depressed and off in another world and low self-image and have selective hearing, self-centered and too introspective, and guilt feelings and persecution complex, and tend to hypochondria and live through others, and they're insecure socially, withdrawn and remote, critical of others, hold back affection, dislike those in opposition, suspicious of people, antagonistic and vengeful, full of contradictions, not people-oriented, depressed over imperfections, and choose difficult work, hesitant to start projects, spend too much time planning and prefer analysis to work, self-deprecating, hard to please, standards often too high, and deep need for approval. And so as you think about that, some of those can be a combination of one and the other, but usually one rises to the surface. But as we look at those, there's three important summaries. One, a person's personality can grow and mature, but it's not going to change. Now get that. They can grow and mature, but they're not going to change. And you get married to a person and you think, I'm going to change their personality. You're fighting a losing battle. Because honestly embracing your woman's personality and appreciating it is essential for a long-term love relationship. I've watched this play out with many couples. And you can get frustrated or you can go, this is what attracted me to her. This is the thing that I love about her. And instead of letting it frustrate you, help where their weaknesses lie. It's beautifully worked out in couples. And when it all comes down to it, there's a reason why you are attracted to that person. Because three, marrying this personality says something deep about you as a man. Opposites usually attract to balance, refine, and mature one another. And an all-star man gets this. He understands that. And instead of looking and dwelling on the weaknesses, he thinks, boy, she's got strengths I don't have. And I'm going to dwell on those, and I'm going to help her where she's weak, and I pray she helps me where I'm weak. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Well, not just personality types, but also knowing your woman's love language. And there's five love languages. I'd recommend reading that book by Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages. Number one is words of affirmation. You need encouragement. She needs encouragement. And this is what fills her love tank when she gets words of encouragement, words of affirmation from you. Is that your woman's love language? Secondly, quality time. Understanding that just spending time with you is what communicates love. You're thinking, boy, I'm going to compliment her and I'm going to say all these things, and she likes that, but more than anything, she wants quality time with you. Or thirdly, receiving gifts. And don't let that deceive you that it's got to be something huge. And that's nice every now and then, but it's just the idea of you're thinking of her. You're thinking of what she really likes. And some of the smallest gifts can be some of the most lovable ways of communicating love. Number four, acts of service. That's what communicates love to your girl. She's like, boy, when he is willing to do this thing, big or small, it communicates so much love to me. And then fifthly, physical touch. She needs that. And you don't withhold it. And withholding any of these things, when you know that they're the love languages of your spouse, is a very hurtful thing to do. If you do the opposite, you're trying to deprive them. Their love language is words of affirmation, and instead you're giving words of criticism. Quality time. You're not spending any time receiving gifts. You're never giving a gift. Acts of service, you never serve. Physical touch, you avoid. It's horrible. So how to recognize your love language? Number one, you like to express love this way to your mate. You're communicating to them what you like. Mine is words of affirmation. And what something you're going to find as you grow in a relationship, these can change too as the years go by. I've grown to develop even more love for quality time with my spouse. And but when you're starting out, a lot of times you're communicating your love language to them. Unbeknownst to you, it's kind of like your way of saying, hey, I like this, so I'm going to give you this. And it's my way of saying, hey, this is what I want back from you. So that's how you recognize your love language. Secondly, you ask for this love from your mate often. And thirdly, you are deeply hurt when your mate gives you the opposite of this. So how do you know your woman's love language? Here's how you can know. One, talk it out with her. And then get specific applications from her. Find out what she wants. Well, questions to ask to think about as you think about this. When you look at your wife, you look at the woman in your life, what is her number one need? And did you ask her how you could better meet that need? Secondly, what is your wife or girlfriend's personality type and what's yours of those four that we talked about today? Third, what did you learn about your wife or girlfriend's personality today that helps you? Fourth, what does her personality say about you and the balance you need in your life? And then five, what was the most important thing you heard today? Think about that. Dwell on that. And hopefully you're working to engage your woman successfully.